please rise. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am. It is such a small phrase, two apparently insignificant words. In Greek, those two words are pronounced ego, imi. It literally means I am. And it is not used as a common everyday way of speaking. Instead, I am, ego, imi. It is an emphatic statement. The Jews understand what Jesus is saying. That is why they picked up stones to kill him. You see, ego imi, I am, is the personal holy name for God. It is the same name that God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. It is the name John uses to show that Jesus is holy and truly God. In fact, this name was so holy that the Jews would not speak it for fear of misusing it and being killed. Instead of saying Yahweh, which is the Hebrew way of saying I am, they would replace it with Adonai, or Lord, which is why you see Lord in all caps in your Old Testaments today. Not only did Jesus speak the personal name of the triune God by saying ego eimi, I am, he used it for his own name. And this is why the Jews wanted to kill him. Jesus is proclaiming himself to be God, the God of Moses in the burning bush, the God of the Old Testament, the God of their father Abraham, Yahweh himself. Yahweh, ego eimi, I am. These are three different ways and three names used by God. And this is perfect for today, which is Holy Trinity. By saying these words, Jesus is saying that his name is the name of the Trinity, the same name the Father and the Spirit have because they too are God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. Trinity Sunday is a festival that commemorates a doctrine, not an event. Think about last week, Pentecost, or Christmas, Easter, Ascension. These are all events in the life of our Lord Jesus. But today, we remember and celebrate Trinity, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and one nature, God. You might be wondering, today is Trinity Sunday, so why isn't the Holy Ghost mentioned in the Gospel? Even though he isn't clearly mentioned, his work as the behind-the-scenes member of the Trinity is the reason we have the Gospel today, and the reason you gather here week after week to be fed by the Word. Really, Trinity Sunday cannot occur unless Pentecost came first, which we celebrated last week. It is because the Holy Ghost has worked faith in you through the reception of the gospel message that you can understand, believe in, and marvel in the Trinity. This is what the white altar paraments are to remind you of, the pure and bright mystery of the Holy Trinity. When you think about how often you say the triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you actually might be surprised. The service begins with the Trinity. You are forgiven in the name of the Trinity. You confess faith in the triune God in the creeds, especially the Athanasian Creed we just confessed. The intro ends with the Trinity. We stand at the last verse of many hymns because the Trinity is mentioned. We sing, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Or think about at the end of sermons, the end of the prayers of the church, the benediction at the end of the service. And then think about the sacraments as well. In baptism, you are joined to the name of the Trinity. In the Lord's Supper that we will receive together today, you are dismissed in the name of the Trinity. In fact, any time you see the sign of the cross made, you are to remember the Trinity. And this is only at church. Think of how many more times God's name is remembered and kept holy in your family devotions. Yes, the Trinity is woven into the very fabric of your worship here at Zion. But if that was the only thing you knew about the Trinity, you'd be missing out. The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are a team. Their goal? Your salvation. Today we remember the most blessed Holy Trinity, and they are working in unity to bring you to heaven, to rescue and protect you from sin, hell, and the devil. Unbelievers need rescue from these things, and believers need protection from becoming ensnared in them again. Sometimes it seems the Father is the only one who wishes us to be saved, and that Jesus and the Spirit, they love their Father and listen to him, but aren't too concerned about us as much as they are about pleasing the Father. But this is to misunderstand what it means for the Trinity to be one. God does not simply hope or wish you to be saved. He desires it with a passion. God wills that you be saved. And your God is not a God of inaction. God's will and action are revealed to you when the Father sends his Son, when the Son lives a perfect life in your place, when he takes on your imperfection and sin and nails it to the cross, when the Spirit sustains Jesus and works faith in you. Each person is God, and each desires you to be saved. Yet there are not three separate desires or actions, but one. There have been many theologians and pastors who have been in awe at this mystery of the Trinity and seek to explain it in lofty and philosophical ways. While such attempts can sometimes be helpful, they will never explain the Trinity fully. If you want to know the Trinity, the contact point between you and the Trinity is Jesus Christ. The Trinity is acting in, with, and through Jesus and displaying to you just who God really is. Without Jesus, you could never know the Trinity. We must also think, though, about the issue of evil. Some may take this Sunday lightly by thinking, why do we think the Trinity is so awe-inspiring? After all, God is not strong enough to prevent all the evil that goes on. And this is a difficult thing for many people, and it has been throughout all times. But it is helpful to remember that God is able and will, very soon, bring an end to these evils, to war, famine, disease, to labor, work, and tiredness, to broken families and relationships, to orphans, widows, widowers, single mothers who have been abandoned, to poverty, stress, depression, despair, and most importantly, to sin and unbelief. You have never met a human that has been untouched by the mystery of sin, but you have met many humans that have not been surrounded by the love of the Trinity. And maybe this is why the evil of this world is unbearable to many, because they have no answer to it. And though you may not understand exactly how evil is answered, especially when it continues to affect your life, take heart. There is an answer to the mystery of evil. It is swallowed up in the greater mystery of the Trinity. Even though there are many things that our human limitations do not allow us to understand concerning the Trinity, do not let these mysteries ever cloud the piercing, comforting truth that the Trinity has worked to accomplish your salvation, your reconciliation with God, your rescue from all that is evil, your salvation forever. And all this because of and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not only is today Holy Trinity, it is Father's Day. Although this day was made a national day remembering fathers just in 1972, it is the result of a grateful daughter from 1916 who wanted to thank and celebrate wonderful fathers like her own, who was the widower of 14 children. In the gospel reading, there are two fathers mentioned, Jesus' father and Abraham, whom the Jews claim as their father. In fact, the reason that the Jews accuse Jesus of being a Samaritan or a half-blood impure person and having a demon is because he said that the Jews are like their father, the devil. Then the gospel reading for today picks up. Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me." Here Jesus is keeping the fourth commandment to honor your father and your mother by honoring his father in the face of public ridicule. There are many today who have trouble seeing God as a father. For some, it is because their own father was unloving, cold, abusive, or absent in their own life. So they project this image on God the Father or have bad memories when they hear the word father. This is a hard thing. But our Heavenly Father is not the same as these earthly fathers. After all, every single dad on earth can only be a father because of God the Father. The concept of fatherhood is not something that we made up. Without God the Father, mankind would not know what fatherhood is. In fact, when fathers act in such terrible ways to their children, they are not acting as fathers, but as sinners. Fatherhood, as we can see in God, can only be good. To the fathers here today, you have a great deal of responsibility. Mothers do too. But fathers, you are the head of the household, even as God the Father is the head of the Trinity. Motherhood is modeled after the church, and fatherhood is modeled after God the Father. And with greater responsibility comes greater scrutiny. Paul tells fathers these things. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. From these passages, we see that fathers are to be doing three things: disciplining, teaching, and encouraging their children. Sometimes the sinful or harmful behaviors of a child needs correction through the discipline that is best given by the father. But none of this should be done out of anger or selfishness. For God himself says, "The Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." It is out of love for the child that the father should act in such a way. For the father is called to give no occasion to allow sin to reign in his house. You fathers are also to teach your children the word of God, that it may become part of their way of thinking, of speaking, of acting. Discuss it often and openly. The world, whether it is school, movies, books, or anything else, it seeks to make your children feel ashamed for speaking about God and his truths. Be an example yourself that there is no better thing to talk about, to live according to gather around. Bring your children here to church, even and especially after confirmation. Say prayers of thanksgiving before and after meals. Read the Bible and sing hymns with them. Have your children memorize the scriptures. These things will guide your children in the truth and God will keep them from the clutches of Satan and the fires of hell. Lastly, you fathers, encourage your children. This means complimenting them when they act in a godly way, encouraging them and wanting them to speak to you about God's word, comforting them when they sin with God's forgiveness. There are certainly many other things that I could list as part of the father's job to discipline, instruct, and encourage. But from what you have said, from what has been said, you fathers can think of many times that you have failed in this regard. And this is serious stuff. You are one of the people responsible for raising your children in the way of the Lord. And if they have erred because you did not instruct them or correct them or speak to them or did not allow God's word to work on their hearts, you may be in danger of being guilty for their eternal life. Children, remember that the best way to honor your father is to listen to him when he teaches you about God. Not only do you warm your father's heart, but God, your heavenly Father, smiles on you and blesses you in more ways than you can imagine. Think about the fourth commandment. It's the only commandment with a promise. There may be times when you do not want to listen to Dad and are mad that he grounded you. But fathers do what they do out of love. There are plenty of times when children do not honor their fathers or mothers, and when fathers do a poor job or outright fail at caring for the spiritual health of their children. And this is why God the Father sent his child, Jesus Christ, who listened to him. Jesus was disciplined on the cross that you might be called children of God, and so you are. You became his child in baptism, and he continues to provide for you, not only in what you need to live, but in forgiveness for the peace of your soul here at this altar, which you will receive today. Today, more than ever, we need strong, godly Christian fathers who are unashamed of the gospel and teach their children about Christ, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, and how to live and think in a world marked by many evils, such as disrespect of life, misuse of sex, religious confusion, immorality, lies, and pride. And God will grant you, fathers, the strength to do so as you seek to honor your heavenly Father and rely on his love and forgiveness in Christ for all of your shortcomings. A blessed Trinity Sunday and Father's Day to all of you. Children, thank your fathers for bringing you here to church. Wives, thank your husbands for being godly fathers. For those who desire to be fathers, pray to your Father in heaven who gives all good things, especially his Son. But most especially today do we thank our Father in heaven for disciplining, teaching, encouraging, and loving us, the Father who with the Son and the Holy Ghost have most certainly accomplished your salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.